want to jump up and preach, but I don't want to get texted at 10:30 in the morning and say, hey, can you preach for me tonight? I'm not going to be there. But let me tell you, folks, and if you don't feel this way about your pastor, there's something wrong with you. I'd do anything for my pastor. And Jason is my pastor, and if he calls and says, can you do it, I'd be more than happy to do it, man, because I love him, and I'd do anything to try to help him out. I've been where he is with his grandmother sick, and knowing that he wants to get down there to be a comfort to the family and maybe see her one last time before she makes her crossing and goes home to be with the Lord. Folks, I think that's important that you get that opportunity. I've had a very busy day. My son, God bless his heart, is at senior prom tonight. And as a daddy, you know I'm proud of my boy, but had to work and then rush and try to take pictures for prom. You know, mom's got to have pictures. So, right, mommies, you got to have those pictures. So we had to rush around a little bit, and then I try to rush over here. And the only reason I say that is because, folks, God is good. Amen. All the time.
All the time.
All the time, God is good. Okay? And if any preaching's going to be done tonight, it's going to be because God does it. I'm going to try my best to get out of the way. Let God come down here and get in the way. That's the best way to do it. If you have a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 5. We'll take our thought from there this evening. I tell you, folks, you pray real hard for me. And you amen me a bunch. And we'll try to preach real quick, okay? We'll try to preach real quick. Mark chapter 5. Beginning in verse number 1. Says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him one out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Turn over to verse 15 and look at that. It says, and when they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. I'm going to preach on a strange topic tonight, but I explain it as we go. I want to preach on this idea. I want to preach on the idea of scars tonight. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity, God. Thank you that, Lord, you've given me a chance to be here tonight, Lord, to take this pulpit. Lord, my prayer is and will always be, help me get out of the way, Lord. I just pray that you'll come down and get in the way. Lord, you'll preach for me. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight especially for those hearts that don't know you tonight, Lord. Tonight would be the night that they would come and turn their life over to you, Lord. I pray for those Christians that are struggling here tonight, Lord. And I don't know, you've impressed it upon my heart that they're here tonight, Lord. I just pray that tonight would be the night they would find strength, Lord, to their soul. Lord, that they would pick up that cross and just keep on going, Lord. Heavenly Father, bless this message, Lord. Bless this congregation of people. We ask these things in your name. Amen. I actually originally got this idea some time back. We were in revival in Springfield, and a man was preaching on this scripture. And he mentioned this in passing, and preachers will back me up on this. Sometimes it only takes a word or two, and we pick things up, and we run with it.
Amen.
And he was preaching about this, and he had talked about the man named Legion.
as he watched, if you read in the previous chapter, the storm was battering the ship and Jesus calmed the waves. He mentioned this. He said, I just have to believe that Legion was sitting on a hillside there watching that ship getting battered back and forth that night in the storm. And he said he was probably sitting there covered in scars, hoping that ship would sink, because he had an idea of who was on it. And he didn't want him to come to his shore. But he mentioned that word scars, about that man having those scars. And man, I couldn't get it out of my head. And Jason preached last night about the fishermen, about being salty. Fishermen are salty. And it was about how they looked. And I, as soon as he texted me today and he said, can you preach for me tonight? And I said, yes, this message came to my mind because of that idea of how they looked. Can you imagine just for a moment how that man must have looked? Can you imagine just for a moment that he spent all this time in the tombs, and the Bible says that he's cut himself over and over and over again. Can you imagine the scars that covered his body? Yeah. And I began to think about that. And I thought about this tonight, Pastor. I thought, the same thing that caused his scars are the same thing that caused ours.
Yes, sir. Right. Amen.
Because see, we don't want, maybe not want to believe tonight that we have scars in our lives. Friends, you need to understand something tonight. You are covered with scars tonight. They may not be the visible kind that you can see, but they're there. And the same thing that caused his scars are the same thing that caused yours. You say, what are you talking about? I just imagine that around his wrist he bore scars where they bound him with fetters and with chains, and they bound him time and time again, and it would cut into his wrist and cause scars. You know what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 68, verse 6? God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but with the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I don't know if you know tonight, but you were once bound in the chains of sin. I was bound in the chains of sin. Sin had me bound up. Jason talked about it last night. I'm not ashamed of where I come from. And I don't want to get ahead of my message. And I'm not ashamed. Why? Because the devil had me bound. But I met a man named Jesus, and he set me free.
Amen.
The same thing that caused this man's scars caused our scars. You were bound. Now you're free.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You bear those scars. Listen. Said he cut himself. He cut himself. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know there were a time you cut yourself. You say, how is that, preacher? Every time you deceived and lied and sinned and lived in the world and lived your ungodly life, you cut yourself. He stayed in the tombs and he cut himself. Huh? Same reason that we have scars. Same reason he had scars. He dwelt among the tombs. Oh, listen. If you're not saved today, you need to understand something. You're dwelling among the tombs tonight.
Amen.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Folks, I don't know about you. I used to dwell in the tombs. I used to dwell around death. Why? Because sin is death. That's what the Bible tells us. And it will cause scars in your life.
Right.
You're not saved today. Listen, you're bound, and it's
causing scars.
Yes, sir.
You're cutting yourself, and it's causing scars. You're dwelling amongst the tombs, right, and it's causing you scars tonight. But here's the thing. Get to the heart of the message. The problem is, what do those scars stand for in your life? Huh? What do they stand for? Because here's the idea. And let me tell you, I'm the king of all that could do this. You may think you are, but I am. You know, I could sit around and look at the scars that I have in my spiritual life. And I could, woe is me. Woe is me. Oh God, I let you down. Oh God, I disappointed you one more time. Oh God, I've dropped the ball one more time. And I've got another scar. You know, I could sit around and do that. You know, that's what most Christians, they tend to do. They get a scar in their life. And some of you are sitting here tonight. Folks, listen, I'm not that smart. I'm smart enough to do what God tells me to. There are people in this congregation tonight that are sitting around going, God, I've disappointed you and I've let you down. And I'm bearing these scars in my body. And you have woe is me all day long. You may not amen me, but I'm telling you. Say, how do you know, preacher? I've been there. I've done that. I still have my days where I sit and I look at all the things I've done, even in just in my Christian life, and I think about how many times I've disappointed God, how many times I've let Him down, and I look at those scars, and I have days where I sit and woe is me and say, oh God, I've disappointed you time and time again. Do you know God doesn't want you to do that tonight? Do you know He doesn't want you to do that? You want to know why? That's not what those scars are supposed to stand for. They're not supposed to stand for that. Let me tell you the first thing about scars. Do you know what scars are? They're a sign of healing. Did you know that? Not only are they the sign of healing, they're also a sign of the work of the blood. You say, how do you know, preacher? Listen, if you do any kind of study in the blood, in your blood is something called platelets. And when you get a cut, you know what them platelets do? They all join together to try to heal up that cut.
Yeah, amen.
That's what they do. So a scar, in reality, is a sign that you've been healed.
Hallelujah. Amen.
They are a sign of the work of the blood. And let me tell you something tonight. I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe that salvation comes one way and one way only, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll not change my mind because the Bible hasn't changed it. The Bible says it's through the blood and no other way. You'll come through a bloodbath or you won't come. You know why that's important, though? It's the work of the blood. It heals you. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 through 14, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen.
You're healed tonight. Those scars represent a healing tonight. When I look at my body, and I've got some scars, some real scars, on my face, my kids at school, they always like to ask, Mr. Moore, how'd you get that scar on your face? And I'll be honest with you, I love to come up with different stories. To tell them how I got that scar. Because I want to sound a little tougher than I really am. Because in all honesty, I was climbing a fence as a 5-year-old and a dog bit me. That don't sound real tough. You know, you want to be a tough guy around these 8th graders. I tell you, they'll drag you under the bus if you're not. I try to come up with these stories, but I have real scars. Here's the idea, though. You know, I've got this scar It's just a scar. It's no longer a wound.
Right. Amen.
Huh? It's no longer a wound. It's no longer bleeding. It no longer runs the risk of infection. It no longer runs the risk of deteriorating my body and hurting any other members of my body. Why are your scars important? Spiritually, you've been healed.
Amen.
Spiritually, that thing that was injured and wounded inside of you has been healed by what? Why, by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what else scars are. And you got to look at this now. Because here's the idea behind this. You got to imagine this man filled with demons, cutting himself, all scarred up, come down out of the mountains and met Jesus, and Jesus cast his demons out. Here's my, at least go with me on this, all right? In my mind, Jesus cast out the demons, but he didn't take away the scars. The Bible doesn't say that, does it? It just says that he cast out the demons. There are reasons why he left them. I believe this. The first thing here, I believe, are scars are a reminder of God's blessing and where he brought us from.
Amen.
You think about it, friends. God had cast these demons out of this man, and he left the scars for a reason. Why? 20, 30 years down the road, when he gets back in town, there may come a chance he might forgive. Amen.
Amen.
Don't act like you haven't had days where you forgot that God's blessed you. He might have a day where he forgets just what God brought him from. Guess what he can look down to see to remind him? He can look down and see those scars on his body, and it would immediately remind him, that's right, I was that crazy man up in the tombs cutting himself, but because I met a man named Jesus, I'm healed and in my right mind. They're a reminder of the blessings and where God brought us from. Folks, I don't care a bit. Jason didn't embarrass me at all when he got up here and told you I look like a mountain man when I come into church. Had hair down to my backside. I know it's hard to visualize right now. I really had hair. Nobody believes me when I say that. I got it in a bag at the house if you want to see it.
Hey, man, bro.
I look like a wild man. Come down out of there. And it's funny, I mentioned that. I mentioned that kind of jokingly about my hair. I really do have it in a little Ziploc baggie, but let me explain why. Honestly, let me explain why. February, when I went that year, I hadn't even married my wife yet. I went to the salon or barber or whatever you want to call it. I don't go there anymore, obviously, so I don't know what that is. And the lady braided it real long. She braided it. And she said, "You sure you want me to cut this off?" And I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Okay." She clipped it. She said, "Do you want to keep it?" And I said,